Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman, here as always with Mike Morial. And Mike, as we record this on June 18th, you know where we will be 1 week from today.
The NHL Draft in Los Angeles. It's going
Back
to be
sunglasses.
Yes, and the sunscreen, I imagine. But yeah, looking forward to that, Adam. It's going to be a lot of fun. Decentralized, so we'll see what that's all about. We're so used to seeing all the general managers and scouts on the floor. So it's going to be a little bit different, but there's going to be over 90, 95 prospects there. So we're going to do our thing as we normally do, speaking with them after many of them are drafted in that opening round, and then second round through the seventh will happen on Saturday, the 28th. So looking forward to it all.
Absolutely. June 27th and 28th at LA Live's Peacock Theater. You'll be able to follow all the happenings of the draft on ESPN, on NHL Network, so definitely stay tuned to that. But today we are going to be talking USHL and high school prospects as we continue to look at some of the top players available for the 2025 draft. Pat Cullen from NHL Central Scouting, he specializes in that area. He's going to be joining us. But Mike, there are some pretty interesting prospects that that are coming up through the ranks that could get picked in the first round. You know, I think Mason West is a guy that everybody wants to talk about, the Edina High School hockey/football player.
Absolutely. You know, Mason West, we got a chance to talk to him at the combine. Just the fact that he was such an exceptional football player, a quarterback. You know, you look at in the past, there have been multi-sport athletes that have come on and had success in the National Hockey League and become solid pros. You know, Mason West, we hope, is going to be one of them. Plays quarterback. He wants to play his senior year. Said he wants to win a football championship at Edina before heading to Fargo and dedicating the rest of his career to ice hockey. So good on Mason. We're going to obviously ask Pat about Mason West and several other prospects from the USHL. And, you know, you can't forget about the NTDP guys as well that do play in the United States Hockey League. Will Moore, Jack Murtaugh, Cole McKinney, other players from the NTDP that could go relatively high in this draft or else mid second round. We shall see. 85 players with USHL ties were named to NHL Central Scouting's final rankings ahead of the draft. So 54 of those played a full season in the league this year. And we're going to discuss many of them with Pat coming up shortly.
Yeah, well, let's go to Pat right now. Pat, thank you so much for joining us today on NHL Draft Class.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Pat. Listen, it's great to have you on again. It's always great talking USHL and high school prospects. To begin here, though, Madison teammates, Ryker Lee, Mason Moe, certainly played a big role for the club this season. Lee named USHL Rookie of the Year, number 28 on Central's final ranking, and Moe going to the University of Minnesota, ranked 53. What gives each of them a shot at becoming a productive pro in the future, do you think?
Yeah, you know, Mike, they had a really good year in Madison, and those two kids were a big part of it. They played, for the most part, all season on the same line, Mason being the center, Ryker being the right wing. And they just seem to click together. Mason has, I feel like, a 200-foot game, did a lot of work down low in his own end. And when you get the puck to a Ryker Lee, he's elite. His skill is elite. He just has a knack for finding seams and openings. And those two guys, I think their pass and their improvement in their game from the start of the year to the end was very marked. Like they just seemed, every time I went in to watch them, they seemed like they were playing better and their games had improved. They're very different players, but I think the one thing that made them very similar was their hockey brains are elite. They fed off of each other, knew where each other was at all times, and just had a way of getting themselves into the right spot at the right time. So whether it was to receive a pass or get a shot or whatever it may be, those two are excellent players, and I think whoever does land them in this year's draft will get some really elite players.
Pat, Ryker Lee is a guy who could go near the bottom of the first round. And I want to ask you about a different one. Ivan Rabkin from Muskegon had this really interesting journey this season, coming over from Russia, finally gets in the lineup with Muskegon in January, and he has 30 points in 27 games, has a really outstanding run through the USHL playoffs to help Muskegon win the league title. When you watched him, what stood out about his game, and where did you see him sort of grow and adjust on and off the ice as the season went along?
Well, Adam, I think the thing for me that stood out is he looks like a pro already. And we know that his history, he's played some professional games back home, but he just plays like a man. He's big, he's strong. His puck skills are unbelievable. When he wants the puck on the stick, he's willing to go get it. And then when he does get it, he can really shoot it. His passing vision is excellent. He just does a lot of things that make you say, wow, his skill is high end. He has some wrinkles in his game that he'll need to iron out. And we kind of all know what that is. But if you look at just the skill package and what he brings to the table, it's undeniable how high a skill level he has. And so it'll be an interesting player to track because when I went in to watch Ivan, I was super impressed and we game one. Game two that I saw him later in the season, his game was just okay. But I think by the end of the year, he seemed like he had figured it out a little bit more. And when he gets it figured out, his game has a lot of nice pieces to it for sure.
Mason West of Edina High School told me at the scouting combine that he'll play football in the fall to serve as QB for Edina before turning his attention to hockey full time and joining Fargo in December. What do you think of that decision, Pat? And what type of player can Lee become on the ice?
Well, in our hockey, in the world we live in, it's probably a controversial decision because everybody's thinking, why is this kid not giving up football? He's an NHL draft prospect, has a chance to play in the NHL potentially someday. So it's controversial. But if you know Mason and get to meet him, you'll understand why he's like that. He's a high level hockey player, no question about it. But he's an elite, elite kid. I mean, anybody you talk to about him just raves about his character, his makeup, his personality, all the little things that Mason does as a hockey player, he does even more so as a person. So it wasn't surprising to me all along. I believe that, he's been a high level, big time recruited for NFL or football quarterback for college. So it wasn't surprised that he was having a hard time making this decision. Because he's the kind of kid who doesn't want to let anybody down. He said, I want to go back and try and win a football state championship for his high school. He's already done it in hockey. Now he'd like to do it in football. So not surprised that he made that choice. But I think the difference maker for him was when he got done with high school, went and played in Fargo in the USHL, he looked like he'd been there all year, Mike. It was just, he didn't look like he had any adjustment time. They threw him in. They played him on the first line. They played him on the top power play. They used him on penalty kill. And Mason just kind of proved to everybody that, yeah, he's a high draft pick probability. It might scare some teams off a little bit because of the football thing, but I think the upside he has is unbelievable. And he's kind of the unicorn in the whole draft class because he's not hockey 24/7. He's been splitting his skills amongst two sports. So I still think there's a ton of room for growth in his game. And, he was the guy that every time I went in, I saw something that I didn't see the previous viewing. And every time I went in, he left me saying, wow, this kid just continues to get better and better and better.
So, Pat, I want to switch it back to Muskegon for a second, ask you about one of Rabkin's teammates. It's interesting. Rabkin's 35 in the final ranking. Vaclav Nastrasil is number 36. Another international player came over from the Czech last season, maybe needed some extra time to adjust, but this year he seems to have looked pretty comfortable. 6'5", 185 pounds. He's headed to UMass at some point, either next season or the season after. When you watched him, what stood out about his game and the adjustments he was able to make to kind of life in North America, life on the smaller ice that maybe wasn't there last season when he came over late?
The thing for me with Ivan was he continued to develop his game all season long. Physically, when you look at him and watch him on the ice, like he jumps off the page at you. Like he is big and can skate and has great puck skills and can handle it. And throughout the year, his compete got better, his finishing ability got better. He just looks a lot like what we envision NHL forwards to look like: big, size, can skate, compete, good hands, good head. He's going to make somebody really happy. And I think he was had a little bit of a lull in the middle of this season where he was playing fine, and then he seemed to kind of take off near the end of the season where you could just see his game become more refined. And yeah, he's a prospect that for a long time guys were waiting to see him take off, and then he certainly did that in the USHL, as did Muskegon. For them to have that run at the end of the season and come away with everything that they got, and he was a big part of it, as was their whole forward crew. But he had a nice season, and he's going to make a lot of money someday playing this game because he just seems to have what we're looking for now in the pro game.
Yeah, for sure. Muskegon winner of their first USHL championship, so congrats to them. And Nesterstedt too closed out, as you said, Pat, closed out the USHL season really, really strong. 34 points in his final 40 games. He had just 8 over the first 21. So I think I'm pretty sure he's committed to the University of Massachusetts, from what I remember. So Nesterstedt, it's going to be interesting to see where he goes in this draft. Switching gears here to center Adam Bonac. He's on the lighter side a little bit at 5'7", 164 pounds, put up 59 points in 56 games, is number 58 on Central's final list of North American skaters. So interesting because he came over from Czechia, was so productive in the league, leading all USHL rookies in assists, power play points, was second among all USHL rookies in points. Why do you think he was able to adapt so well, Pat, so quickly? And what do you like about his game?
Well, I think the adaptation time for him was quick because of how hard he competes. He's a small guy, as we all know, but he doesn't play small. He's first guy in on the forecheck, plays physical. He's a really good all-around hockey player. And he was the kind of guy every time you go in, you kept waiting for him to leave you a game where you could put doubt in your head as to what kind of a prospect he is. And he never did that for me. Every time I saw him, I would leave the game saying, yeah, I don't care what size this guy is. His compete is off the charts. He can make plays. He makes his teammates better. He's unselfish. He just does a lot of things right that I couldn't take my eyes off him when I go see him play. Not I could have had a hard time finding things that I didn't like about his game. And if you didn't have measurements and size and things like that, you wouldn't see him as anything other than a high level prospect. And he just did it all year long. He started out with a great Hlinka tournament in the summer, and he carried it right through the USHL. And the guys in the Youngstown did a great job of utilizing him. He played a lot. He was playing at center, on the power play. He was just a catalyst of driving offense. And hard not to like what he brings to the table. And somebody's going to take a chance on him, and they're going to get a really, really good player. And he just plays like, I'm out to prove that I'm a good player. And he has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder from what I can tell as he plays. And he's doing a great job showing everybody how good of a player he is.
Pat, I'm right with you on Banak. He's a guy that just a little bit of video clips I was able to watch. He even looked like a guy I could see a team, 30, 31, 32 taking a shot on just because of the, as you said, the chip on his shoulder. He was a fun one to watch. But I want to ask you about a little bit of a larger prospect, Sean Barnhill, the defenseman from Dubuque, 6'5", right-handed shot defenseman, which obviously is going to immediately get him onto NHL radars. But he's pretty raw as far as his skating and his positioning. But is he a guy that you could see a team taking a shot on, maybe in the middle rounds of the draft, as a guy who, if he develops, could be a really good defensive conscience for, to put with a top-end offensive defenseman who wants to run and gun, and he'll be the guy who sits back and takes care of everything else in the defensive zone?
No, Adam, you're right on with Sean. He really had a slow start in Dubuque. He just, it seemed like it took him time to really figure out what this junior hockey is all about. He's big, he's long, he's got good hands. His skating is elite, smooth skater. It just took him time. And, that's kind of why we have junior hockey, right? Just gives kids time to adjust and figure it out. Once he hit about, it was shortly after the Christmas break, it looked like he just played with way more confidence. Because he's a good puck mover. He can bring offense and see much of it, but his hockey sense is really good. He's willing to jump up into play. He's a kid who I think you'll see really kind of break out of his shell this season wherever he plays. And the guys in Dubuque just kind of brought him along slowly. But by the second half of the year, I feel like we saw more of what he really has. And the upside is tremendous on this kid. He just needs a little bit more time. And a lot of bigger players, they just have a little bit longer runway and need a little bit more time. And I think that's what people would see in Sean Barnhill. But there's certainly a lot to like about his game.
This has been great stuff, Pat. Last one from me here. Can you maybe give us your dark horse candidate? Maybe a second, third, or a later selection in the draft from either the USHL or the high school ranks who you feel could become a solid pro down the road?
I thought about it, Mike, and there's two guys that come to mind for me. And one is Sam Lorilla. He's a second time through guy, but Sam had a breakout year offensively in Fargo in the USHL. He went through the NTD program, got bigger and stronger, had a solid 2 years there. But then this year, in his first year of junior hockey, his game really expanded. Fargo used him as their number one defenseman, had 20 plus minutes a game. And he's a guy that I think we saw more of what he has in his game. And I know the family history, I know the father. Sam's not done growing. There's a lot more in his game. He's going to take his game to North Dakota this year. And I think for me, he's a little bit of a under the radar guy that the more you watch him, the more you like him. And then the other guy for me was Bruno Idzon, who joined Lincoln for the second half of the year. And quite honestly, was a big part of why Lincoln took me to run and ended up finishing first in the USHL regular season. Bruno's from Croatia, well over a point of a game in Lincoln, and just he, an offensive driver, a mature player. He's a kid who came in and in a hurry made an impact in the eyes of a lot of scouts, but was under the radar because we really didn't see him other than from the second half on. So he's a guy that will go on to the University of Wisconsin. And I think somebody's going to get a nice prospect in those two guys. And it'll probably go probably a little bit later than early. But if you've done your homework, you really like about a lot about what those two bring.
Well, Sam Lorilla and Bruno Idzon are guys that we're definitely going to keep an eye on as we do our homework to get ready for the draft. But Pat, thank you so much for joining us today on NHL Draft Class.
Thanks, guys. Really enjoyed it.
Great stuff as always there from Pat Cullen. Adam Mason West, one of those prospects, and Pat mentioned it, he's the one that's going to be watched when it comes to USHL prospects and high school kids coming into this draft. You look at the New York Islanders and Andres Lee, right? The captain for the Islanders. He took the same route. He was a quarterback for a Edina himself. And when I spoke to Mason about Andres Lee, he said, yeah, they keep in contact with one another. And Andres was able to give him advice on, hey, go with your heart. If playing your senior year, if playing football your senior year is what you want to do, then go for it. And sure enough, that's what he's going to do. But, West has that size, that athleticism, to go with the vision and sense to make plays for himself and his teammates. I just think, this is a player. Obviously, he's well fit. He's in good shape, preparing for football, preparing for hockey. So, in my eyes, I think Mason West is a player here that could be on the fringe of maybe a first round pick.
See, what I think stood out to me from what Pat said, and this is sort of how you look at a prospect, right? I go back to remember when John Smoltz, the baseball player, got into the Major League Hall of Fame. He said that what helped him get to the Hall of Fame was playing baseball, basketball, and football his entire life before he got drafted by, I think, the Detroit Tigers, and then he had to focus on baseball. So I think with Mason West, playing football gives him an advantage. One, it gets him out of the hockey mindset for a little bit. And two, it just rounds out his athleticism. I don't think him being a high-end football player is a knock at all. I mean, at some point, yes, he is going to have to pick a sport and focus on a sport. But I think growing up being a high-level hockey player and a high-level football player, I think that's a check mark in his category because he isn't one of these guys who's hockey 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he's expanded his athleticism to become a more well-rounded athlete who's going to choose hockey, we believe, moving forward. So to me, I just think every time I hear about these guys who play two sports, I'm like, oh, I had to give up this at 13. Like, I talked to Justin Carboneau from Blainville-Boisbriand, who's probably going to be, top 15, top 20 pick this year. And he was a football player until he got to 13. And he said, I had to give it up to focus on hockey. I wonder if that would have made him an even better hockey player, a more athletic player, if he had stuck with football and kind of went through it, or lacrosse, or any of these other sports that these guys play, because it just rounds you out as a person, as an athlete. So to me, I think Mason West, if it's seen as a knock that he doesn't do, hockey all through fall, winter, spring, summer, I think you're looking in the wrong direction. I think it's a plus in his category that he has that fully well-rounded athletic background.
There's a lot to be said about a player too, and the character that you see in Mason West, that he wants to return for his senior year to be with his friends. I mean, let's face it, high school sports, and I played high school sports. It's, there's a camaraderie there, your friends, and he wants to do this, and he's determined to win a state championship. He says he's done it in hockey, and he wants to do it in football. One thing that was very interesting too, West goes about 6'6", 215 pounds. And I asked him, where are you getting this height from? I know your dad played college basketball at Eastern Illinois University. And he says, yeah, well, my dad is 6'8". So that's where he's getting the height from, Adam. 6'8". Unbelievable. But anyway, Ivan Rapkin was another one that Pat did talk about and discuss. And you had asked him about Rapkin and from Muskegon, the USHL champion this year. It's their first championship in that league. Rapkin comes over midway. I remember sitting at the World Junior Championship, and that's when we were getting word that Rapkin was coming over to Muskegon from Russia. A player here that not afraid to play physically. I mean, we saw that this season in the USHL. He plays a real hard-working type game, two-way type game. And I think Pat likes what he sees in Rapkin and maybe what he has to offer an NHL team.
Now, I think there's a lot there. And I think you look at what he did in the USHL playoffs, where he was the second leading scorer, that mix of physicality, sometimes he went over the line a little bit. I know he had a suspension earlier in the season, probably not long after he got to Muskegon, if I remember correctly. There's some edges in his game he's got to round out a little bit as far as, play away from the puck and composure and all those things. But from a raw skill set standpoint, he's a guy who has first round talent. It's just a matter of, can he sort of get himself, from the neck up where he needs to be, just to kind of work out all the little kinks in his game from an adjusting to life in North America, from adjusting to life, what it's going to be like when he turns pro, that sort of thing. Play away from the puck, as I said, those are all the little things he's still got to work on.
Yeah, absolutely. And he will. And obviously, he's probably not, we most definitely won't play in the NHL next year. So he's going to have to adjust and develop and marinate and mature a little bit more. And he will. And whichever team does draft him is going to take those steps in making sure that he's ready when he is ready to become pro. But again, and as you said, Adam, watching video on Ivan and seeing what he was able to do, just a player that really looks to get himself in those good quality scoring areas. He's confident. He shows a lot of patience with the puck and in the offensive zone and can hold and shield until, things kind of open up for either himself or his teammates. I think that's one of the strong suits of Rapkin and what he was able to bring to Muskegon this year. And he brought a lot, as you said, with the points he put up, 30 points in 27 games this season. So, looks like the sky's the limit for Ivan Rapkin for sure.
Yeah, he's going to be a one to keep an eye on as we get fo move forward here and we get closer and closer to hearing the names come off the board when we get to Los Angeles. If you want to learn more about, any of these guys, especially in the USHL, Mike, you have a really nice piece up today on Ryker Lee and Mason Moe from Madison in the USHL. We talked to Pat about them a little bit, but there's a lot more on NHL.com if you want to look it up. Features on all the top prospects from Victor Eklund and Justin Carboneau to Keshawn Aitchison, Brady Martin from Sault Ste. Marie. We've got our top 10 list by position. Obviously, you can also go back and listen to previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. Mike, there's a lot more to come also as we get forward here 1 week from the draft.
1 week from the draft. Looking forward to it, Adam, to get to LA and see the prospects and get a chance to speak with them again, do some draft diaries with Porter Martone and James Hagans after they're selected in the first round. That was a fun, it's always a fun exercise for us to get to speak to them in their joyous moment. So looking forward to that as well.
Absolutely. And stay tuned to NHL.com. Stay tuned to NHL Draft Class. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.